If another player runs and they see the mushroom and they pee on that mushroom, another mushroom appears. And then another one appears. If another player pees. And eventually, if you have a dozen players peeing in the same spot, then food will grow. Little like flies and bugs and things that you can pick up and eat. True. And I just find that so funny and exciting. I don't know.
That's beautiful, Moet. That's absolutely beautiful. And what a way to start the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. I'm going to isolate that so it just starts with you being like, yeah, and then if someone else pees there, and then like maybe someone else will pee there too. And it's so sweet the way you describe it. And without any context before, it'll be a who. You have no idea.
All right, I'll purposely keep it without context.
The woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. This is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moet Jaswal.
And this is the Loser Leaves Wrestling, the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching AEW Dynamite. Moet, right off the bat, what are your thoughts on tonight's AEW Dynamite? What day is today? The 10th?
February
10th, just for the audience, in case they're... Well, they would know because they looked at the podcast.
Well, they would look at the date because you're going to put it up later tonight, right?
Oh, of course I'm going to put it up later tonight.
Yeah.
February 10th, what are your thoughts, initial thoughts on the show?
Hey, these are my thoughts, Red, and I'm very curious about your thoughts, because it's not like before, you don't agree. I think it's a fine TV episode, you know? I think they excelled in a couple things, a couple of matches were fine TV matches, nothing too exciting overall, you know, and it was okay. It was a fine episode of television. How'd you feel?
I think this was one of the best episodes
ever done. Out of here.
They did such a good job. Almost top to bottom. I could literally go through each part and say something that I really liked about it, but we couldn't even possibly. But I guess we're gonna try. You weren't blown away by some of this stuff. I guess we're gonna have to jump into it.
I was not blown away, but I will say, looking at my notes right now, one of the things I did enjoy was they had a couple of like episode long stories that went through that I did really appreciate, because nobody really does that nowadays. And I think that's really fun.
And I thought, at least some of the things we're going to cover, you're big into story and them advancing the story. And I thought they did that with several things today. And I thought they did it in a pretty okay way. But let's jump into it.
Interesting. Moet,
what's your biggest woo of the evening? What do you got?
Oh, gosh. I'm really curious if I missed something. But anyway, I can't wait to hear this. So, yeah, let's just talk about the main event. The main event was so goddamn fun. I had so much fun watching this match. Who was it? Kenta?
Kenta and Omega versus Lance Archer and Jon Moxley in a tornado tag, false count anywhere. Big smash 'em up brawl.
They had a thing they mentioned last week in a like a Twitter promo, basically, that Kenny was taunting Tony Khan, basically trying to get him to do a non-sanctioned match. I guess it wasn't non-sanctioned within the story, but that's the idea of like Kenta isn't part of AEW, so how do you do a sanctioned match with someone that's not in AEW? But they clearly want him in the match, so that's why. Within story, they're allowed to do anything they want, and nothing really matters. So I was totally okay with the fact that it was crazy tornado tag rules or whatever the hell.
It was a lot of fun. It was cool that they went all over the place. I missed a portion of it because my app was acting funny. I missed the first portion of it, half. The second half, the first half, actually, when they were showing the clips, I was just like, I'm upset by it. I was upset. I was just like, that's how they started the match with these ladder and frickin' chair shots and chair spots. And then I came in right when they brawl throughout the arena, they go into the kitchen, and that's when I started watching.
I started watching
right at the kitchen. I saw the potato fight.
Yes.
I saw them getting on top of a stainless steel structure that JR's just like, it's a table. It's a goddamn table.
The kitchen structure? Is that what called it?
Stainless steel kitchen structure.
That's so funny.
Elevated structure.
Just in the moment, just messing up. Yeah, it's very funny.
And JR's like, it's a table.
It's a goddamn table. Okay.
it was a really fun, especially the ending, I really enjoyed, because Lance Archer looked like a badass. I didn't like the Kenta double foot stomp, personally.
What double foot stomp? What are you talking
There was this part of the match where Archer and Kenta are up on this platform, Omega put Moxley on a table, and he threw Kenta, and Kenta just double stomps onto Moxley, and I felt that just looked very forced. But other than that, I had a really fun time watching that.
Okay. So much to talk about. First of all, I'm so glad you were able to watch the kitchen segment, mm-hmm. the very mm-hmm. least, that you got in at that moment. They used a potato as a weapon.
What a great idea. That makes so much sense. That would hurt.
You think that, I mean, would it?
Well, because it's the weight. It's kind of like throwing a fist, mm-hmm. but then with extra weight. It's like if you put a roll of quarters in your hand and hit and punch someone, there's just more weight to it. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Mo, it doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to make it have sense, but I think it's very...
I've just never seen anyone use an Idaho potato as a weapon before. I've never been to Idaho. Maybe that's commonplace over there.
Potato fights.
There could be potato fights, but I've never seen it in person, and boy, is it delicious to watch. I loved it.
What a treat, and I feel like JR was indignant with it. He didn't want to say anything, but he's just like, well, they're throwing potatoes at each other. Throw another potato. He was having a little bit of a time. Yeah. I thought it was a really fun match. I appreciate all the work that it went into it. And I like the finish. I like the finish with the one-winged angel where the Good Brothers hoisted him up on top.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, yeah.
I like that a lot.
So another thing about this episode is that they made stars out of particular people. It felt like star-making performances out of, in this case, Lance Archer. I thought he
did a great job, even though he lost.
I thought that, well, sure, yeah. But I thought the spotlight, I felt like, was on Kenta at the start. He did great. It was a great performance by him, but Lance Archer came out too, because he's, in my mind, he's still like sort of in the mid card. So to be put in a big high profile match like this and deliver in the way he did, I thought was amazing. Yeah.
He did a great job. Yeah. And he came off, this is his match. He should be able to do a good job in this type of match. In all honesty, I'm a little upset that they had him lose just because I just think in my head, he's the monster. This is his match. His match is going haywire and no rules, and now he's able to throw anyone into anything and pin them anywhere he wants. That just seems like in my brain, but I understand it, and the way they did it was very cool.
Yeah, and I will say, since you didn't see the first half or thereabouts, it was great. I could see if you were just watching the replays that you might not think so, but everything felt good. And the entrances, nothing special about them, I suppose, but they just made everyone feel like such a big deal.
I saw Kenta and Omegas. And Kenta's, I like his graphic. His song's a little weak, but it's his first time here.
Yeah.
But he looks great, and I'm excited for him to be more part, because I really like Kenta. Yeah. I really do like Kenta, and I was always upset when he wasn't given his fair spot in NXT.
So sad that, yeah, the Hideo personality just never worked for me, and I was waiting, because I knew Kenta was a big deal.
He was stricken from the beginning with all those concussions. He had a shoulder injury immediately, and then he got a concussion from Austin Aries. I think it was Austin Aries. But either way, excellent first step. But that was not one of my woos, though.
Get the hell out of here! This episode is better.
I didn't see the full thing.
There's that match.
Yeah, well, let me start
all
off.
All right,
with
give
this.
It to me, Red.
Let me give you this one. Let me give you a little. Darby versus Joey Janela as an opener.
Good.
Loved it. Wow. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. I thought they worked a great match. This is one of the best things I've ever seen Darby in. Easily the best. I've seen some good matches from Joey Janela before. But Darby, this was the one where I saw him do things that he doesn't usually do. He had a match that he doesn't usually wrestle. Joey Janela, finally in AEW, the first time in AEW, his character made sense and his wrestling ability made sense. Like, I was just like, oh, he's a freaking stout New Jersey brawler. I get it. Oh, he's bad because he doesn't give a fuck. Oh, I get it. Now it makes sense. He's the Jersey bat. It all made everything added up. I was such a fan. Ugh. Now tell me how much you loved it, Mohit. How much did you love it?
This is how much I loved it. It's the number one thing I hated this episode. It's my number one.
Really?
One. Yeah. I despise it. And I thought you would hate it too, as a fellow Darby Allin curmudgeon man.
He spun me in this one. He turned me right around.
Wow.
He turned me right around.
To me,
what was your issues with it?
I felt like they rehearsed it beforehand, and they were just going through the motions of the rehearsal. Nothing felt real to me. nothing. It didn't feel like a real fight. It just felt like they were just going from spot to spot to spot. They did. I thought this would really, you know, scratch your itch, Fred. There was an avalanche Canadian destroyer, second rope Canadian destroyer, and he kicked out of it. Joey Janela, of all people, kicked out of that. That's
Believe
ridiculous.
Me, I did write down. Could have used less false near falls. I like, there were way too many, and nobody took their time with a pin. Literally, Joey Janela did this, like, beautiful sequence where they're doing this chain wrestling, and all of a sudden he hits a pile driver out of nowhere. And instead of just taking a second on the ground to kind of like, oh, you just did a lot of things, don't go for a pin immediately, because then they kick out immediately. Now your pile driver looks like it could only get a two count. You know, waited a few seconds and just kind of like dropped your arm over, and then it gets a two count, like, oh, if only you would have gotten there sooner.
Maybe that's why I felt the rehearsal sort of aspect is that just felt very fast. Like, they had a lot of things going for it, so there was no room to breathe. So that's why I felt like it was just spot after spot after just moving from one part of the ring to the next.
I'll give you that. To be honest, I have a lot of woos, and they all have a glaring what in there.
Yeah.
But I chose the woo first. Like, for instance, like Darby Allin versus Joey Janela, I love overall. But there was that what of the fact that they kept using finishers and they kept no-selling the pins. You're right. Yeah, and I could understand that and I could respect it.
And there's also an issue for me in that I don't like Joey Janela. I love him. Wait, what's that?
I hated him. Now I'm sold.
I haven't found it yet, because I loved it. It's interesting. I'm the opposite right now, because I loved him on the indies. I got to see him live at one point, and it was amazing. He's really great live. But I don't think he translates to TV yet. It's he doesn't seem to care about like getting in shape the way the wrestlers do, and it really shows when everyone's just like fucking jacked and he's not. You know, I hate to point that out, but it just seems too, you know, like a lack of care. You know?
He looks different. He looks different, and he looks like a scrub. I think his character is that he's a white trash scrub from New Jersey that's just like, yeah, like, I'm gonna hit on your girl at the bar. She's gonna say no, but I'm gonna hit on her. Like, you know, he's the guy that goes up and starts bar fights because he's not the best looking guy there. You know, he is a schlub. He'll wear tight t-shirts and mesh shirts just to show off that he's got a beer belly. Like, there's something about that. Believe me, but if you were to talk to me yesterday, I would have been like, yeah, fuck that scrub. You gotta work out a little bit.
You're right. It's a very petty thing to point out is the first thing. I don't know. I think it is. His matches are fine. I don't know. It's just missing some sort of like fire, some sort of dedication. And what he's doing for GCW is incredible. Like, what he's doing for the indies is great. So maybe that's why I just don't see what his you know, what his value is in AEW yet. I'm not sure why they keep him after this whole year. They haven't fired anybody, so there's that. I don't know.
Honestly, I'm curious to where he'll go next, because after this match, I feel good about it, but I wonder how other people in the back felt about it to see if they're going to move him in a different direction. Because him and Sonny Kiss, they're an interesting pair. Like, I would like to see more of them on TV and figure out something with them. And this was a pretty, I don't know, who knows? Well,
about that. I do want to say real quick, reason to keep them, yeah, Joey and Sonny is a very fun combo. They just haven't done much lately, and I just honestly forgot about them, because they're not
Jersey's
really
finest.
They're on Dark. But that's it. Yeah.
Big supportive of both of them. Yeah. Hopefully they get that opportunity. Mo, what's your next big woo? What do you got? What do you got to follow up that main event?
Episode long storyline, the Inner Circle, I thought was really great. Just overall, just all about Sammy, very slow build throughout the episode, and I guess throughout the year, really, deciding to quit the Inner Circle, really big. Starts with MJF talking to Sammy, confronting him, and eventually he tries to get Sammy to say some mean things about Jericho, and then tries to walk away, but it turns out that he was trying to record Sammy the entire time on his phone, and then Sammy sucker punches him in the ribs, right? And then
sells the entire episode.
Yeah, he comes in with like tape around for this match, Jericho and MJF versus the Acclaimed. And then he sells the entire match.
The entire night, he gets shot. I don't know whether to love that or hate that, because it's definitely my woos. The entire night, what you mentioned, I like the backstage scene where they're finally doing something to advance that, because it felt like they were in limbo for how many weeks? You know, we were dealing with that, but we finally get some character development where MJF's trying to do it. And by the way, MJF is such an idiot. If you're recording him, like, you immediately tell him, "Well, I got it right here," and waves it in front of him. Like, but he sucker punches him, which causes him to break ribs, Mowat.
Yeah.
He broke ribs.
It could happen.
And it could happen. It could happen. I don't know whether to love that or hate that.
I actually hate that. I sure. don't like the way he sold, because I've been really like into the questions that stories get the viewer to ask themselves while watching a narrative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really fun and exciting of just, and the questions are the reasons why you want to keep watching something in the first place. So this one would be like, okay, so if this is the first act of the story, he gets sucker punched and he shows up with the taped ribs, like, how is that going to play out? And it didn't play out. It was fun to watch in the match. Yeah. It went on the entire match of him playing like he was actually injured, but it just ended up being confusing, because like, why would he do it the entire time without any payoff from a story perspective? And if he was actually hurt, you know, which could be possible, I suppose, you get hit in the ribs, but like, they're wrestlers. In this world, they don't get hit every single day. Yeah, right. So there's no way. It just doesn't make sense. So like, that just bothered me on like a storytelling point.
I was hoping like that he was selling it for a purpose to get out of working the match. You know, like I thought, like, oh, he sold it, and he's just like, and I thought that's where they were going with it. For him to have kept it the entire match and for them to have won is totally. It seems like a waste of even doing that storyline. Which is really dumb. The more that you think about it, yeah. I will say this though, Sammy, God, I'm curious and I'm excited for him to have this opportunity to be a face. But boy, does he not look like a face. His face screams creep. He's a creep.
And he's got
with wily eyes and big teeth, and he's just he looks like Danhausen without the makeup.
Sure. Yeah. Crash Bandicoot or something.
Oh my God, Crash Bandicoot. If they can make a wrestler a Crash Bandicoot character. Now, I'm not saying he has to dress up like Crash Bandicoot, that madman, like, I'm going to blow up this entire place. Like, with a plunger and a dynamite, you know?
Yeah, that's Sammy. Yeah,
that's Sammy.
I thought, yeah, I've only known him as a heel, like outside of AEW before that. I mean, he does he flips people off right to their face, and that's really fun. And he's that arrogant asshole, you know, that you love to hate, you know? Yeah, his promo wasn't great. He wasn't very solid on that, unfortunately, but it's fine. I was able to say, you know, disregard that, because I think it's exciting where it's going, because he mentions that he needed time away. He needed time away from this place, which could mean anything in this world right now, right? So my hope is he's probably gonna show up
on
Impact.
Some real time away. Oh
no,
he's
no,
gonna
no,
show up on Impact.
No, yeah, him showing up in other venues part of the storyline. Yeah, so probably Impact, because it's boring as hell. But I want him to go to New Japan. I want him to go to these really exciting places for a quick excursion and see, you know, what that leads. Yeah,
yeah, I would love for him to stay there as a talent exchange. You know, like have him live in Canada, have him live in Japan for like a month or two, you know, give us someone. Like, if Kenta's coming here for this, you know, maybe it is a trade. I wonder what kind of agreement they're going to have, because someone's definitely, they're going to get some people there over there too. You know,
interesting.
It's not a one way street. So that's very interesting. Very interesting. One thing I did like also from the Sammy thing, as he was leaving and he was going up the ramp, he decides to choose the face tunnel.
Ooh,
did you notice that?
No.
He looks at the left tunnel and he's just like, and he shrugs and walks to the face one.
Ooh, good catch. That's exciting. Yeah.
It was pretty fun. Which I do love the tunnels. I love the tunnels. The tunnels make me very happy.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Mowat?
I actually didn't, because I'm not in love with the tunnels. I think they're really like hokey. The heels come out one way. Sure. They know, oh, I'm the bad guy, so I'm going at the right entrance. Like, that's insane. That's absolutely insane that they all choose, all the bad people go in this tunnel. No, all the people that believe in the Girl Scouts and God and love and freedom and pizza, they go in the left tunnel. That's ridiculous.
Girl Scouts, God, pizza.
I don't know. What are good things in life?
The holy trinity of good, wholesome things. That's fair. Honestly, that's right up there. I love it because it's a very meta storytelling device.
Right. Yeah, it is very meta.
Completely, on the nose. But anyway, the excellent job. Excellent job. That was one of my woos. Moa, let's see if we could double it up with another one. Do you have another woo for me?
I do. There's the Lee Johnson got a great push this episode, and I'm very proud of him. And I think it's really cool that AEW is giving these pushes to new talent. You got to keep pushing new talent. WWE does not do that. You gotta keep growing new talent. Even if they're, I don't know if he's ready. I don't know. But it's important to, you know, to plant the seeds, Red. You got to plant the seeds. Does that make sense?
When's the tree? Yeah, when's the tree going to get here? Well, you can't just expect the tree to get here. You have to get started. You got to get started now.
And this is it. They're getting started with that tree.
Who'd they have? Lee Johnson. And then they had Cesar Bonini.
Yes.
With Pretty Peter Avalon versus Lee Johnson and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And that was a fun match. Fun little match. Cesar's very green.
Mm-hmm.
He's having some trouble, but Lee's doing a good job. Pretty Peter is doing a good job. I'm really happy that Pretty Peter is on Dynamite because he's someone that could lose and lose and lose and not look like not lose anything. You know what I mean? Like he comes out there, he does his thing. You're always happy to see him. He's able to have convincing enough offense and counterattacks, but he's someone that could lose each time and it's funny and he doesn't lose anything from his failures.
And he's great. He's great at doing it. I'm such a fan of him. I'm so glad he got rid of the librarian gimmick. I'm a little sad about Leva Bates not doing as much because I think she's also great. She just isn't doing as much right now. But Peter, he's wonderful. Yeah, I can't wait to see more of him. I'm glad he's on Dynamite finally.
Very happy for him. He did a great job.
Yeah, Lee Johnson did great though in this. He had a really solid comeback moment, hot tag sort of scenario. He did a really cool flippy move over the top rope that was really impressive. He flipped all sort of rotations. Rotation, name a rotation, he probably flipped it.
730 over 420.
He divided it. Oh, he did.
Divided it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Sure. So definitely worth checking out that divisional rotation. Then he won, and I was like, he looked like devastated, and it was like really weirded me out. It weirded me out until the commentary came through and explained that it was his first win ever in AEW. And I've seen him; it feels like he's been around for like 6 months, something like that. It's been around for a while, so that is a big deal.
Yeah, and it's sweet to see that. It's sweet to see that, and remind us that wins are important. Not just because of like, oh, this ranking thing, but it's also, you know, people try living their dream. And I kind of like the idea of them bringing that back and like, oh, this guy really wants to be a wrestler.
Gosh,
you know?
Yeah. It brings me back to Cutler. What's his first name? Cutler. Brandon Cutler. It brings me back to that storyline against Peter Avalon where Peter wanted him to cheat this whole time. And he had that great line where he was like, no, you, because they were on a insane losing streak, like 30-0 or something stupid like that. And he was like, no, we're not going to cheat. Even though I want to win that bad, we're not going to cheat because when we win, it'll make all the losses worth it. And it just, I don't know. It's very like, it makes me feel a lot of things just saying it right now, Red. It makes me feel like all these fuzzy, warm feelings, you know?
God. In loving memory of Brandon Cutler, may he rest in pieces. He's not dead. He's not.
He's
dead.
All right. He's fine. He's doing fine. BT. He records things now.
Well, that was while I do enjoy that thing, and I really like that Pretty Peter was on Dynamite. I did not have that as one of my woos. One of my top woos, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it. You didn't like the Thunder Rosa Leela Hirsch match?
No, I don't think I liked it. It was my number two. It's my number two. It breaks my heart to say.
Number two what?
Number two what? Yeah, my
jeez
two.
Louise, what was the number two about it? Maybe I'm high. I am dealing with being sick high. Today. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe it's because of all the weed I just smoked. No, I haven't been feeling well. But am I blind or something? The Thunder Rosa versus Leela Hirsch wasn't a good match? Moa, tell me.
One of us is wrong. It's clearly, we're off right
Sound
now.
Off in the comments. Send us an email. Send it to Moa at the mailbag, Moa, at loseleavespod No, that's Loser Leaves Pod is for Twitter. Loser, yeah, Loser Leaves Pod at gmail.com,
yeah, that's
right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, as far as I know, that's how I remember it.
Yep, that's it. That's our email.
That's our email.
It was fine. I don't know. It was a fine match. It just felt like it never got out of that second gear. You know, it just felt like it was. It just got stuck in something. And there were good moments. It just, I don't know. It just felt like it was lacking something. And I just was kind of bored by it. I don't know. They're too bored as far as these two incredible performers go.
Yeah. And I respect that. I could see that, like, this is their first outing together. So it wasn't pristine. It wasn't as polished or as some of it was herky jerky. Like they you could tell that Thunder Rosa is getting used to working with someone that short. And I think that's a learning curve for a lot of them. But once they figure out that, you know, you don't have to do the same things, like there's different things you could do, and Layla Hirsch can work around you, and she will work around you. Like, she does things that she also does things that she shouldn't be doing as well. I'd talk to her. But that being said, like, I thought this was a really good first outing. It was short.
What do you think she shouldn't be doing? What does that mean? I'm curious.
I like to accentuate the strengths and hide the negatives. I'm not saying you can't show the negatives, because that's how we show failure in a match and such like that, but her going to doing more high-flying things or coming off the top, I like her moonsault. She should keep doing the moonsault, but there's a few other times when she was getting on the top rope, and I was just like, stick to your ground game. That's the most impressive thing about you. You jumping off the top rope doesn't mean as much as you jumping up and grabbing a hold. Like, I feel like it's nothing to do with what she should or shouldn't be doing. She's an artist. She should express herself. I just feel that if it were me, I would be sticking with the things that are going to bring me to the next level, not doing things that I'm kind of second rate at, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, because I also think she has sort of, even though I love her, I love her style so much. But I feel like she has sort of a Zack Sabre Jr. scenario with her, where, like, if you are against her or Zack Sabre Jr., and you don't know how to mat wrestle, then they're just going to do anything they goddamn want around you, and you just have to pretend like you are on their level. They will, and I hate it, because I can tell when both of them do that to people, where they're fighting a dummy in those mat moments, you know, where they flip around and they flip the opponent. They help them flip the opponent to make, you know, Layla in this case look like she's in pain, and then Layla flips, you know, Thunder around to look like she's in, you know, it just feels very like one person fighting a dummy scenario. No, which sucks.
Which, in all honesty, the way to fix that is to tell Layla, don't give them anything. If they want to mat wrestle you, let them mat wrestle you. Otherwise, they have to hit you. They have to hit you to stop that mat wrestling. You shouldn't be mat wrestling unless you know how.
That's,
you know,
good.
It's like, it's kind of like, if you don't know how to throw a punch, don't throw a punch. You know, mat wrestle. Do that. Like, you know, she shouldn't be a high flyer. So she stick with what you know. You, if you learn those things and you're able to be good at them, if you're able to be, you know, someone that's able to do all the styles, you know, great. But if you're not, stick with your style until you know. And I feel like Layla Hirsch and Thunder Rosa, I guess, now that you mention it, Thunder Rosa, why was she trying to be a submission? Why is she trying to grapple? She can't do it on that level.
Well, it's hard because it seems like that's what Layla Hirsch does. So it seems like that's, if you're wrestling Layla Hirsch, you have to wrestle at her level, at that style, because it doesn't seem like she knows how to do anything else, which is, you know, like a blessing and a curse, because she's extremely good and charismatic at that style, but it leads to these issues.
Let me put you this way. If, like, Kurt Angle and Randy Orton, just to name people that are similar size differential to each other, Kurt Angle's a mat wrestler. Randy Orton's not going to go in there and expect to win a match. And in all honesty, if he tries to go for it, Kurt's going to wrestle him to the ground and like, tie him up, and he's going to try and keep pinning him. What he has to do is elbow him and then make it a standing fight. You know, like, you have to bring it to you. And that's the goal of each person, psychology-wise, is to bring the fight to them, into their world where they could easily win. When big heavy guys like Big Show jump off the top rope, why would you do that when you could just stand there and choke them to death? You know, like, that's the psychology behind it. It's not always true, and it's morphing, But I feel like with those two, it should be that way.
That's actually a great point. Yeah, because you don't really see that as much anymore. I feel like that was more in like the 90s and 80s, you know, earlier eras where like, I guess potentially the better version of this match would be they get into a scramble. And Thunder Rosa clearly knows she's outmatched, so anytime they get into a scramble, she's fighting for her life to get to the ropes. She's fighting to catch the 100%. Ropes. Stop that. Get back on the feet, you know, and then start with, you know, striking, I guess, is what Thunder Rosa is better at.
Grappling. Striking, throwing her outside. She's a high flyer. She should stick with high flying, using the ropes. But Layla Hirsch, her only thing, like if you were to look at her stats bar, she's like a 5 in charisma, 6 in speed, maybe like a 7 in strength, and she's a 10 in technique. Yeah. You know, like, so like if she, Thunder Rosa, she's a great striker. She's got high grappling. She's got high flying, but she's not like, I wish that it was thought of more in that manner. But I digress. Moa, what's your next big woo? Do you have a woo besides that?
Last one. Great squash match tonight. Great. Perfect squash. TV squash match. Pac versus Ryan Nemeth. This is perfect. This is exactly what you'd want. Of course Ryan isn't going to be able to face Pac. Of course he's going to get destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. He gets one good punch in. It was a knee or something. I don't really care what happened. He gets one good thing. And that's, I think, a perfect amount. Because you got to show, why are you in AEW in the first place? Like, how did you get to the big leagues? You could win, and any of them could win at any moment, is how I interpreted that. Despite, no matter who you're facing, you get one good hit because you know how to do that. But Pac destroyed him. Absolutely. It's perfect. Other than Riot, he had a really stupid ending. When he got him in
his... Oh, they couldn't tap?
Yeah, he could. Well, he was tapping on his like other shoulder, and the ref didn't see it. And then the camera just has to like stay on him as he's doing this horrible acting. It's just really ridiculous.
That's so funny. No, that looked real. Inside. I thought it looked real.
Oh, I thought it was so insane.
Everything else, but I thought he was really screaming there because I thought he was in pain. But the thing is, how did they let him be in a match against Hangman Page for 10 minutes last week? 10-minute match they had. And it was terrible. It was hard to watch. Nemeth didn't know what he was doing. He made Hangman Page look bad because Hangman had to sell for that. And it was an annoying match, but they made up for it this week. And hopefully we never have to hear from him again. Rest in peace, Ryan Nemeth. May you rest in peace. Bless you. Moet, I have two woos that I'm just going to say in quick succession.
All right.
Quick succession. Jungle Boy and Tony Schiavone. That Jungle Boy interview was great. That was a great bare bones, well-performed, like very simple. He didn't try to overact. He basically said, FTR, we didn't do the thing you thought we did. Well, we want to fight you. We're no cowards, blah, blah, blah. Next time I see you, I'm going to make you my bitch. I would have done without the bitch part. I would have personally. But that being said, I thought he did a great job.
It was fantastic. Yeah, you're right. I didn't, it was so quick. I didn't really think too much about it to put it on my list, but you're right. It was really great. Yeah.
And the last thing, and I'm surprised neither of us have talked about this, unless it's in your what's. The Adam Page, Matt Hardy, Dark Order storyline that's brewing. I'm just going to give a quick synopsis of what happened tonight. Matt Hardy asks Adam Page to go hang out with him at a bar, and he's just like, are you sure any bars are open here? And Matt Hardy's like, yeah, it's a QAnon bar. It's definitely open. Which was very funny.
I missed that joke. Funny. That is really good. And then
Adam Page walks away, and Dark Order's there just like, hey, you want to hang out or something? And then he's just like, nah, I'm going to go hang out with Matt. He's like, oh, sure. Oh, cool. And then John Silver says something stupid that he gets very embarrassed by. I forget what it was. But then later on the night, you see that they're at this bar. Hangman's throwing them back. He's throwing back irreverently. And Matt Hardy's pretending to drink the entire time, thinking he's going to put one over on the old Hangman. But not true. He has contract papers thinking that Hangman Page is going to sign these drunk and then he's going to own him, 30% of him for life. But instead, he throws those papers aside, pulls out his own papers, signs them, and we don't know what's going to happen. But Matt Hardy's super excited to bring those to his attorney so he could get them notarized. And then next week, we're going to find out, Moet, We're going to find out what those papers were all about. Yeah. And now tell me what's wrong with that. Find a flaw.
Oh, no, I actually like that. I guess that would have been my fifth. I had it on my list, actually. I just didn't number it. I agree. I guess in my thoughts, it wasn't enough. But yeah, you're right. That's another storyline or episode-long storyline, which is great. Yeah. I'm still heartbroken by this Dark Order thing. I still have hope that they're going to bring that back because it's ridiculous that that just ended abruptly. But clearly it's not ended, you know. And
continue.
Oh, and I was saying, I just love the feeling of being broken up. That they're going with that angle. I love that they were in a relationship or potentially they were dating and Hangman rejected them as a group. That he was dating the entire Dark Order and the Dark Order got rejected. And they're reacting that way, similar to like running into an ex at a party or whatever. Like, oh, you're here too. Oh, but you're going over the, oh, okay, that's the thing that we used to love doing, but you're now doing it with this guy. Oh, well, that, I'm totally fine with that. Have fun. Have fun. You know, I love that. Yeah.
And I feel like this is the start of this majors. I still fanficking and hopefully this works. Because now, whenever he gets some sort of attention or some sort of success, he just had a big win with Matt Hardy last week, or the past 2 weeks, he had something. So now he's got this big success, and you see him drinking heavier again. So every time he's having some sort of success, he drinks heavier. And like Matt Hardy's like, oh, I want to sign you away, but he's still smart enough not to do that. But we're going to see next week, he's going to be drunk again. He's going to be drunk again, and Dark Order's going to be there to help him. And then he's going to find someone else again. And this is going to play a few times up until he realizes that Dark Order was there for him the entire time. And that drinking, when in moderation, is fun. But overdoing it is what's costing him these opportunities because he only drinks when he's starting to have success. That's when he overdoes it. So he finds Dark Order, have him and have his support as he rises to the top. This phoenix coming from the shadows. And he takes over the championship from Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Hoisted on the Dark Order's shoulders.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because when I was watching the main event and seeing Kenny in it, it got me thinking about Hangman and that we were thinking he was going to win the championship back in, I don't know, several months ago, whatever. But like, you know, when they broke up as a tag team, I thought it was going to be, you know, it was one or the other and maybe Hangman will win. It was a big possibility. Yeah. And now he's just nothing. And now Kenny is like completely forgotten about. Perfect. Hangman. He's the best in the world. Hangman's just like down in the dumps. And so like, it's completely forgotten about in the story, which I think is great because I really hope they will one day. I don't know how long, but the longer they let it simmer, the better it's going to be, like a very beautiful tomato sauce. I'm learning how to make tomato sauce. So sorry, but like it's a perfect metaphor, Red. If you've ever made tomato sauce, it's the perfect.
No, it's perfect. Yeah. I do make tomato sauce, and I understand it.
You got to simmer for at least 8 months. I just like your inflection, like a
very beautiful. I want you to do a cooking show about it.
I want to too. Say I want to like so
that.
Bad.
And say things like that. You need a crispy tortilla, and then you dunk it into your delicious tomato sauce.
I could do that. I also know how to make tortillas. It's very easy.
I know. But that's why I mentioned it. I
was really?
Caramelized onions in yes. your tortilla chips.
Yes.
And your delicious tomato sauce. Oh,
those are all things I love making. But yes, all right. This isn't the food podcast yet, but one day.
Yet.
Yeah.
Loser Leaves Food.
The point is, it was really great. It was really great seeing. I'm really hoping they bring back Hangman, Dark Order. I'm hoping is a long term feud to get back at Kenny Omega. I think he's the one that's gonna dethrone Kenny Omega one day.
Yes. I believe that as well, and hopefully that will happen. But we are at the end of our woos, Moet. Do we have any what's left, or did we already cover them for you?
Red, you covered all my what's. I only had two that I wrote down. I'm sure there's other things I needed.
I think there's definitely, I only wrote one, but I know this is definitely a third on your list. This is definitely a third on your list. Young Bucks ever talking. Young Bucks talking ever.
No good.
And when the Good Brothers is around, it isn't any better. And them mentioning Sting at the end. So the Young Bucks are doing this promo backstage where they're upset that the Good Brothers cost them the title last week. Then Good Brothers come, and I understand why they're friends, because they both have the worst senses of humor. And you've mentioned this before, that the Good Brothers have a dumb sense of humor.
But like so much. Them,
they act the same way where they think like they don't understand that their sense of humor that they have, you know, behind closed doors with your close to the family doesn't translate always to everyone else. And they have all these inside jokes and things like that. And it just never translates. And then at the end of this promo, they're like, oh, we can't do the too sweet right now. Sting's right around the corner. Hey, Sting, you're in the wolf pack. We can't do this around you. The worst thing. Just
what
dumb.
Did you like about that? That because what? I thought that was all right, that moment. Because they started the too sweet thing in Japan. When no one ever thought this would ever get back to the States in this crazy way that it's turned out to be, the Bullet Club and everything. So, like, to me, the Bullet Club was on purpose a gaijin scenario where they're bringing in all of the extremely obnoxious things about the 90s American-era wrestling that everyone, like, loved. And they're just bringing it back to piss off all the Japanese fans that were not used to it at the time. Maybe they are now because it's been around for freaking years now. So to be in a scenario where the Bullet Club is in the same building as Sting is pretty absurd. So I was fine with it, in a, you know, as a, just like a throwaway joke. But what didn't you like about it?
I think it would be cool. It's save that for an in-ring encounter where you're all doing the too sweet and then Sting comes out.
Yeah.
Like that. Like you're ruining it. You're just ruining it for a dumb joke. Like, and now the thoughts out there, like I wouldn't have put those connectors together unless it was this episode. Like later on when all four of them in the ring together and they're like, oh, we conquered what we did. Nothing could beat us. We're the Good Brothers and the Young Bucks, too sweet. And then all of a sudden the snow comes out. That would have been awesome. That would have been fucking awesome, but they wasted it.
Actually, yeah, I fucking hate the Good Brothers. You just reminded me. I hate them for that
reason.
Well,
why are you defending the Good Brothers?
No, I hate them. I hate their sense of humor. I hate their. I hate everything they talk about. I think they're fine in the ring. I'm still.
They are.
I'm not,
they're good in ring.
I think they're fine. Yeah. I just. God. And they're let loose on BTE and everything they do. All those segments are just so frustrating. Like they were naked the other time and they all kinds of wacky jokes because they're naked and they don't mention that they're naked until the very last moment of like a 3-minute promo. Like one more thing with the young. Why are you guys naked right now? Like what? Who? Why would you? Oh, God, I just hate it when shit doesn't make sense, you know?
And it's just dumb. God. It's just not funny. It's just not funny.
I just feel so.
I'm trying to be funny, Young Bucks. No, yeah. We're doing good things, Moet. They're doing bad things, and we should remember that. And this has been the woos and whats of a maybe not. Maybe
one,
not.
Well,
do we have anything
else? Do you
want to
talk about one more, or are we done?
Yeah, let's give it one more.
What's the deal with Taz? What's the deal with Taz, Red? What's the deal with the Taz team dragging Darby Allin in the parking lot? How'd you feel about that?
So, just for everyone to know. Tony Schiavone was going to have an in-ring interview with Sting, and right as they're about to speak, Taz is shown in the back in a SUV with Hobbs beautifully lit in the background, very scary. And then they have Darby Allin in a body bag tied to this Jeep that they just drive away in to kind of taunt Sting, and Sting runs to the back. Well, walks very fast to the back to see if he could help his friend out. Moet, this was almost in one of my woos.
Ah, me too. I was really excited about it, to be honest. I thought it was a really cool thing. But then when I thought about it for a second, it actually bothered me from like an AEW perspective of like, it's another thing where they just did it too quickly. Like, I think it would have, it's really disturbing to see someone getting dragged at the end of the, you know, by the back of the car. It makes me think of racial thoughts, you know, racial prejudice, all, you know, sure. That was normal. Back then, yeah, I won't go into it. But is now the time to go into it?
Let's go into it. Let's get into it right
I,
now.
I took a class once in college about this. I think I could. All right, no. I'm just kidding. This is terrifying. I'm sorry.
No, they love it. The audience loves it. They love this type of hot social commentary.
God, all right. Where was I? Oh,
yeah,
no.
You know, it's
but
very
what I'm saying is, like, if you're going to do that, then really, like, make it, like, you know, make it a moment. Make it maybe instead of already being tied up. You do the tying, you do the whole, like, you really, like, you make it longer, so, and then so you can cut back to Sting, and Sting freaking out, being like, what are you doing? Oh, no. And then maybe he runs, and then you can have, like, a really dramatic moment where you see him at the end, like, running after the car, instead of just very awkwardly, or on a motorcycle, yeah, and he's got a katana. He's got a sword. He's got it's like, come back
swing
here.
A big, like, chain and mace. She's
yeah.
Like, ah.
Yeah, that would have been so perfect.
What I like about this is because I was expecting another Tony Schiavone Sting promo, the same one they've been doing the past 27 weeks. But instead, we got Taz being his most villainous self, tying a person to the back of his car and dragging them away.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying.
That was probably Team Taz's finest moment. This is the best time they've interrupted Sting, because every time they interrupt Sting, they look like idiots. They end up looking like idiots, and this is the first time they don't look like an idiot.
Yeah, they were actually terrifying. Honestly, terrifying. Finally, that's great. Yeah,
finally.
Yeah.
But anything else, Moment? Sneaky things?
Oh, that's the last sneaky thing I got this week.
This is the news. Not the news. This is the woos and what's of AEW Dynamite. This is Loser Leaves Wrestling. And make sure to follow us on all the Loser Leaves Wrestling things. Get over to YouTube and go check out these videos that we have up there. They're blowing up the internet, by God. It's at Loser Leaves Wrestling. And make sure to send us some emails at loserleavespod@gmail.com so Moa can read them. And also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Loser Leaves Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moa Chaswell.
Moa, if you were any fabric of clothing, what would you be?
Oh, cashmere. Come on. It's so sweet and soft. And it's just so nice.
That one because I wanted you to be happy. I knew you would pick cashmere. Oh. I knew you'd pick cashmere. Some soft, like a linen. You're a linen.
Yeah. That or like a wetsuit. That seems fun, too. Jesus. That's very opposite. It would be
bye-bye, everyone.
Okay, fine.
Have a great one.
All right, goodbye.